we're going to be learning this week about medical malpractice. So in halacha, there are actually three forms of malpractice, two or three. There's general malpractice and medical malpractice. And general malpractice breaks down into what we can call kind of blue-collar malpractice and white-collar malpractice. The technical terms the poskim use are cases that involve umnus hayadayim, that involve skill of physical skill, shochet, an auto mechanic, these types of cases, and white-collar malpractice, where you're called on to issue an opinion, to give advice, do something which requires judgment or kind of cerebral skill, and you don't do it correctly. As we'll see, the rules are somewhat different for all three. This week, we're going to be learning medical malpractice. Tonight, though, in this chabura, I want to focus on the general rules for general malpractice, both the umnus hayadayim kind as well as the eitzah kind. They'll have some relevance to medical malpractice, although for reasons I'm still not sure I fully understand, the halachas of medical malpractice are kind of in a separate, off by themselves in Yardea, not so well connected to the general malpractice halachas and chashem mishpat. Tonight, again, I just want to go through the basic rules of general malpractice. So we're dealing with one sugin bava kama, basically half an amud, an amud long. The Gemara discusses, has two shlavim. It doesn't clearly define a difference between them, but the poskim do. The first half of the sugya deals with the umnus hayadayim malpractice, shochet, along with various other examples. Second half of the sugya deals with maradino l'shulchani. A shulchani is someone who, the banker, the money changer, someone who deals with money. He's an expert on money. You ask him advice. Should I accept, someone owes me money, should I accept this coin? Is this legal tender? Is this an authentic, genuine coin? He tells you yes. You take it from the other person. Turns out it's not good. And then the other person, for whatever reason, you can't retrieve the real money from him. You can't prove it. He ran away. He's not listening to Beis Din. For whatever reason, you can't go back to the guy who gave you the coin. You're stuck holding a bad coin, and you gave up your ability to collect your debt due to the bad advice of the money changer. So that's the white-collar malpractice, the fellow who gives you bad advice, what we think of today as legal malpractice, someone, a lawyer who gives you bad advice, a stockbroker. And the first part of the sugya, the classic example, is the shochet who causes an animal to be treif by messing up the shechita. As the poskim explain, we're not talking about a shochet who makes a mistake in halacha and shechts wrong. We're talking about a shochet who slips and cuts the wrong way and makes the animal into a nevela, makes the animal a nivla, the Gemara says, by simply not being physically skilled enough to, or by slipping, making some kind of error. That is the first case. So in the first case of umnus hayadayim malpractice, the shochet, there are different shitas in the Gemara, but the bottom line is the rules are as follows. There are two considerations. Are you an uman or are you a hedyot? Are you sufficiently skilled or are you unskilled? Second consideration is, are you schar or bechinam? Are you getting paid or are you doing this as a favor, pro bono? The only time you are potter is if it is both, if it's tartila malyusa, if both factors are in your favor. If you're A, not getting paid, if you're getting paid, you have a higher level of responsibility. B, if you're an uman, the better you are, the more halacha assumes, the more likely it is that the error was just an accident, an unforeseeable accident. So if both are in your favor, if you're both an uman and you're not taking schar, then you are potter. Otherwise, you are chayev. What is the definition of uman? We're going to see in the context of rofe, the post can discuss what the definition of a rofe baki is. Rofe baki, rofe with Rishus Beis Din, but what is the definition of an uman in general? Not so clear. The post can bring a tradition for a shochet, for example, if he shechts three times successfully. This was actually a minhag, the post can say, that once a shochet would be tested and would shech three times successfully, he would be deemed competent. Doesn't sound like a very high level of expertise. That was considered uman. Some poskim say even if he shechted three foul, he would be considered an uman even for animals. Other poskim say that you have to look at each type of shechita. You can have certification for gassas, for dakas, for ofas, so that ech shiyah. Either way, it's difficult to translate this into modern types of umnas. Rab Bloy in the Pesach Choshen is not really sure. He says a guy runs a repair shop. He says you have to test him on every type of repair. Is he an uman? Do you look at his umnas separately in every type of fix? Just because he can fix this bracket, who said he knows how to fix that spring? He's not really sure how to translate this into modern terms. But in any event, an uman basically is someone who is experienced to some minimal degree at least, and someone who has demonstrated some basic level of competence. And schar and chinam are relatively easy to define. When the Gemara goes on and talks about maradin l'shulchani, not the umnas hayadayim malpractice, malpractice giving bad advice. There are two major differences between this and the previous sugya. First of all, here the Gemara does not simply say that an uman is pater. The only type of uman that's pater is a super special uman, an uman called Danku v'Ister. They were apparently very well-known money changers who were supreme experts, who were like legendary experts. Other than that, there's no such thing as an uman unless you've really reached the pinnacle of your profession. That the post can say that's a special case because money changing expertise on coins requires a very high level of skill. Basically, that's not going to be so relevant to us la'alacha. That's one realm. Passing judgment on coins is one area where we require an extraordinarily high level of expertise. An ordinary uman, the basic level uman we discuss elsewhere, doesn't play a role. Again, I suppose there could be modern cases also that we think need expertise. If you ask an art expert, is this painting authentic? There are obviously many issues that require tremendous amounts of skill and training, and it would be an interesting question to see how the poskim define what other types of professions might be like shulchani in the time of Chazal. But in any event, this is the consensus of the poskim. Shulchani has special rules because it requires special expertise, and an ordinary uman in the sense of having successfully practiced three times, the basic definition is not sufficient. Money changing needs a higher level of expertise. More significantly, though, at least more heavily discussed by the poskim, is that the Gemara discussing shulchani, the Gemara does not discuss whether, doesn't say anything about tzchar and chinam. The only distinction the Gemara makes is between uman and hedyot. The Gemara says uman, a special uman like danku v'iser, is pater. Anyone else is chayev. Most Rishonim say that here too, even if you are an uman, you'll still be chayev if you accept a tzchar, and again, you're only pater if you're doing it pro bono. There is, however, a minority shita, the Rashba, the Marshal. They hold that here there is no distinction between tzchar and chinam. Here, this is a major nafmina lehalacha. Here, when it comes to white collar, professional opinion type of umnas, here, even b'schar, you'll be pater. This is obviously a major deal because most cases we're going to run into in the real world, you ask, your stockbroker, even your doctor. The doctor really combines both types of umnas because if he's operating on you or physically treating you, he can make a mistake of umnas hayadayim. We'll see more about that later in the week. Or he can offer an opinion. He can say, you have this. You should be treated as follows. Take this medicine, where it's a question of an error of judgment. It's not a slip of the hand. It's just an error, an erroneous call. So the Rashba and the Marshal say that when it comes to umnas, which is not umnas hayadayim, even with schar, you're pater. And most Rishonim, most poskim, the Shach, and most Rishonim, and most poskim say that you are chayav if it's b'schar. There is, however, one opinion, the Chavetz HaSharon, Halacha L'maisa, one of the few actual cases, tshuvas I've seen discussing malpractice, who actually says, lahalacha, we can say kimli, lahalacha, the uman will be pater because of this, he can be selmech on this, Rashba and the Marshal. The Chavetz HaSharon was talking about an interesting case. His case was a customer wanted to buy a certain used Sefer Torah from a certain seller. He called over a sofer for an appraisal. The customer said, before I buy this, I would like to know, this is an old sefer, I see maybe you need some repairs. Is the sefer salvageable? I know I might need some touching up, but can this be repaired? I'm willing to spend some money to repair it. I guess I have a good price on the sefer. Should I buy this? Is it salvageable? So the sofer said, yes, it is. The customer therefore went ahead and bought the sefer. Turned out the ksav was more deficient than they realized. The ksav was flaking or something. It was hopeless. I guess maybe if you spend a fortune, you could repair it, but realistically, it was not cost-effective to repair it, and the customer had to write it off. For whatever reason, part of the tshuva deals with whether he can go back to the mocher and get a refund because of mechachtos. That's not our sugya. But putting aside that option, obviously, if he gets the money back from the mocher, he won't have any complaint against the appraiser. But assuming for some reason he's not getting the money back from the mocher, does he have a claim against the appraiser? So the Chavetz HaSharon ultimately rules no, and part of his reason is, a big chelik of his reason is this idea. Now, the halacha, the sofer's error was an error of judgment, he didn't slip and cross something out. The error was he evaluated the sofer incorrectly. Chavetz HaSharon says the sofer can say kimli, like the opinion of the Marshal and the Rashba, that an error of judgment, even beschar, the sofer actually was paid. He was paid for a professional appraisal. And afal pikein, he's still pater, the Chavetz HaSharon says, because an error of judgment, even b'schar, you are pater. Now, one very important point in the sugya, which is a subject of a great deal of debate and confusion, is Again, two Gemaras. The first Gemara is the Shalchet. The second Gemara is the money changer. What Chiyuv are we dealing with here? Are we dealing with the Chiyuv of Mazik, or are we dealing with the Chiyuv of Shomer? The Gemara, when it distinguishes between Schar and Chinam, again, the Gemara only makes that distinction in the first Gemara in the context of the Shalchet, but when the Gemara makes the distinction between Schar and Chinam, the Gemara uses language of Shomer. The Gemara says that if you pay, you're like a Shomer Sachar and you're Chayev. If you don't pay, you're like a Shomer Chinam and you're Potter. The Gemara seems to be assuming that the level of carelessness, the level of error that you made by trafing up the animal is in between Shomer Chinam's Chayev for gross negligence. The Shomer Sachar is only Chayev for a higher level of negligence, Shomer Sachar is Chayev for even less negligence. The standard is higher. He's held to a higher standard. So the Gemara seems to be saying that the error of Nivla falls into that middle ground that a Shomer Sachar is Chayev for and a Shomer Chinam is not. Now, the Rishonim actually asked, we discussed this last month, the Rishonim asked, why is it, let's say he's not getting paid, he's a Shomer Chinam. Why is he Potter? What happened to Adam Mu'ud La'olam? When it comes to Adam HaMazik, as we discussed last month at length, there's a rule of Adam Mu'ud La'olam that even bonus you're Chayev. So why isn't the Mazik Chayev? So Tosis and Rishonim on his side have a famous answer. They say Adam Mu'ud La'olam is Lav Dafka. It doesn't mean he's more literally La'olam. It means he has extended liability, past Pshia, but also with a Gvul, not any kind of onus, only within certain bounds. And his liability is actually similar to a Shomer Sachar. And that for, he's Chayev beyond Pshia, he's Chayev for certain types of accidents that are beyond Pshia, but not totally like a Shomer Sachar. Shomer Sachar is Chayev both for Gneva and for Aveda. Aveda is Karav L'Pshia, Gneva is Karav L'Onis, and a Shomer Sachar is Chayev for both of them. But Adam HaMazik is only Chayev for Pshia or for Aveda, which is Kein Pshia, not Kein Gneva. This level of Onis, the Gemara says, of making the animal into a Trefa is like Onis Kein Gneva, and therefore a Shomer Sachar is Chayev for it because he's Chayev even for Gneva. Adam HaMazik is not Chayev because Adam HaMazik is only Chayev for Pshia or Aveda, which is Kein Pshia. You say anything? So that's a sheet of Tosus. Mazik is not Nogea here because you're an Onis and you're Chayev. So why are you Chayev if you get Schar? So here there are two ways to say it. Either you're Chayev as a Shomer, or you're Chayev because once you get Schar, maybe it's Shayev to say that even in Mazik, somehow there's a standard that you're held to a higher standard, even Legabedine Mazik, because you got Schar. But in any event, the reason you're potter for when you're Rechinam is because there's no Dinah D'mod La'olam, because it's too much of an onus. Other Rishonim say, no, D'mod La'olam means you're always Chayev. You're Chayev even for any kind of onus whatsoever. And the reason you're potter, they introduce a new rule that any time you are being hired, you have a relationship with the owner of the property, you didn't just run across his thing in the street. He told you to operate on it. At that point, the parasha of Mazik is out, because once you're an authorized user, once you're an authorized repairman, we no longer apply the idea of Mazik. And at this point, the only category that applies is Shomer, and Shomer has its own rules of Shomer Chinam, Shomer Sachar, and so on. Where the Achronim run into a lot of trouble is the second Gemara. The first Gemara, it's easy conceptually to understand that you can be either a Mazik or a Shomer. The problem is the second Gemara. The second Gemara says that the Shulchani, who misjudged, misappraised the coin that you were thinking of accepting, he's Chayev for the loss. Now, what did you lose? You didn't lose the coin. The coin was worthless to begin with. The coin was never your coin. What did you lose? When you listened to the Shulchani, what you lost was you lost the debt. The customer, your debtor owed you money. You let him go in exchange for this worthless coin. What you lost was the debt. You had a valid, viable, collectible debt 10 minutes ago. Now you don't. So what the Shulchani did, he was gurim, essentially, that you gave up your debt. It's like mochel shtar. He caused you to lose, indirectly, a debt. And the Gemara itself says, the Gemara calls this a grama. The Gemara says, the Shulchani is chayev because dina de garmi. As we've discussed many times, beyond Adam HaMazik, there's something called grama and garmi. If you're gurim hezik, that's, in some cases, you're chayev. If according to a mayor, that's done dina de garmi. That's how we paskin. This is dina de garmi. So, mazik makes a lot of sense. And it's not even regular mazik, it's dina de garmi. But how on earth, with the category of Shomer, the Achronim ask, how on earth would Shomer apply here? What are you a Shomer on? The coin itself was worthless. The debt? You were never a Shomer on the debt. So how on earth can the category, according to most poskim, as we said, the chilek here also is between Schar and Chinam, which again implies, what's the chilek between Schar and Chinam? That seems to be a Shomer type of chilek. But how on earth is the category of Shomer applicable to Maradin al-Shulchani, to white collar, where he's just giving you advice, how on earth can we apply the rules of Shomer? So there is a very strange, very innovative idea of some Achronim that the rules of Shomer actually can apply even in such cases. That, in other words, if the Shomer, if an employee or if someone who has a fiduciary duty to the property owner is negligent, even if the hefsid doesn't happen to any money that he was actually watching, even if the hefsid just is something which is nigram indirectly to other assets of his employer, of the person to whom he's a fiduciary, even that falls into the category of Shomer. Avinezer says this idea. One other major posik we see says this idea is a very interesting, somewhat difficult tshuva of the Divrei Malkiel. Divrei Malkiel talked about a case of someone paid an insurance agent. He paid premiums to insure his house against fire insurance. The agent's job was to collect the premiums, enter the payments into the books of the company, and then he would be insured. This guy paid his premiums, but for some reason the clerk made a mistake and did not properly enter some payments into the records. So when the house burned down, the company would not honor the policy because it wasn't recorded. So he was Tavea and based in. The agent was a Jewish guy. Apparently he was Tavea the agent for negligence. So the question, the Divrei Malkiel spends a lot of time trying to figure out what rule in halacha would allow him to collect. Is he Gurim? Is he, you know, what was he exactly? So one of his ideas is Shomer. He says the agent is a Shomer of the client, and therefore he's chayev, a Shomer Sachar, a Shomer Chinam. He says he's getting paid, he's a Shomer Sachar maybe. Again, what is he a Shomer of? The premium? The premium's not the issue. He'll gladly give him back the premium. We want it to be a Shomer of the house. The house is what burned down. Shomer of the house. The house is karka. He never saw the house. He certainly never took custody of the house. Afal Bikei, the Divrei Malkiel has an idea that when you work for somebody else, you somehow become a Shomer. It's possible to become a Shomer even on property that you never actually took possession of. Very difficult idea. It's very hard, very difficult to understand when it applies and how it applies. Divrei Malkiel's case himself, he rejects this because he says the agent is not your Shomer Sachar. You're not paying him. He gets his commissions from the company. He says you're not the one paying him, so anyway, he wouldn't be your Shomer Sachar. But that's one other precedent for the basic idea that even in cases of Maradin L'Shulchan, even in cases where the Shomer, the employee, the expert, never took possession of the money that was lost, it might be Shayach to apply the idea of Shomer to get around, mix it together with Garmi, and come out with some kind of idea of Shomer to Mechaya for the Hefsid. But again, it's a problematic idea. Other Achronim say that they don't understand it at all. It's completely incomprehensible that the principles of Shomer could apply to such a case where the property in question was never in the custody, physical custody, of the Shomer.